to the Milk Case Show. We have back our favorite scientist and one of my most dear friends who has taught me more than anyone else in the last 3 years. And I am very excited to have back Mike L. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you? I hear you're in the beautiful state of Florida now. So
yeah. Free America, free America. I'm here for the Thanksgiving with my family. Very blessed and excited about that. I know you're in free America too now, as many of our friends are. So this is a great time to get together with you and have you tell people some things that they don't know and they should. So let's get started.
Let's do it. You know, I got to tell you one thing really quickly. It was interesting. So about a week ago, we were out at lunch and it was the first time somebody actually approached me. And they're like, "Hey, are you Mike L? Are you the Mike L?" And I was like, "I don't know how to respond to that originally, right?" So I'm like, "Yeah, it's me." And they got all excited and they were asking me all kinds of questions. So it was actually kind of fun because I don't get to normally do what you do, or you get to meet the people. I'm the guy that kind of sits in the lab or sits in here. And
yeah, I told you every time I go to a meet and greet where I meet like the thousand and a couple thousand people, sometimes we get lots of I love your shows with Mike L, or people telling me that they have info for you. And what's great is now you're on Truth Social and I see that people are finding you and going directly to you. Hopefully soon Truth Social will have a secure messaging system so we can do a little more of that. And the best part about you is that you really are on a mission to find other like-minded people that have different pieces of the puzzle that you don't have. You explained very early in our shows a couple of years ago that, you know, there's different silos and there's the thing, there's information that's like not together because that's by design. And that, you know, you always invite the audience and anyone watching or people that share the video to say, listen, if you have anything to add to this, please contact me. And I think that's a great thing because a lot of people do have a lot of information and they're sitting on it.
Yeah. You know, I've been getting a lot of emails. A lot of people say, "Hey, check out this. Hey, check out that. Did you see this video? Did you see that?" So some of them, I'll tell you what I really like is they'll say, "I know it's 25 minutes long. You don't have the time. Go to 11:42 and then listen to this."
That's
really cool, because what it does is it allows me to say, okay, you know what? I don't have that much time. So, you know, I'll zip to it and I'm looking at it. Ooh, that's really interesting. So today we're going to take a twist turn today. We're going to have a little fun because I know with the election and all the craziness going on, I thought maybe a good time for us to kind of step back, breathe a little bit, and let's talk about some really cool research that I've been doing. And it is linked to some of the Dr. Swanson, but some of that Dr. Swanson, he's using some really old research. Then I referenced it in just some CIA documents. So this is going to be kind of a fun day today.
Cool.
So we're going to have a little fun. Let me do the, where is the share button?
I have it on my side. It's good.
I know. I'm trying to find it today. Hold on. Give me a second, Mel. I got two screens coming up at the same time.
And you've been busy in pharma and science world. So before we jumped into it, are you seeing a lot of stuff percolating in that area? Because it does seem that there's like, you know, it just seems like there's a lot of revelations coming too that you've been. There's me. Hi.
I know. Hold on.
No, it does seem that a lot of the things you've been talking about for a few years now, I mean, you were first in a lot of stuff, especially because you saw the CDC and FDA documents before most people did. It does appear that a lot of the stuff that you were saying in, 2.5 years ago is becoming mainstream.
Yeah, it is. You know, a lot of the things that we had talked about, you know, at the beginning of time, you know, post the 2020 election even and pre-COVID were a lot of the stuff that is coming out, and it's really kind of supporting what we suspected. You know, the COVID, for example, and the vaccine, there's a couple of things that are going to start coming out that I suspect. Remember, I told you, and you remember this, where I said, okay, there's going to be some immediate results, then there's going to be some medium there's going to be some initial results, some medium results, and we're going to start seeing long-term research. And that's really what we're seeing. We're still in that medium research, right, Mel? So I think what we're going to have, but we're going to start to see now is not just the myocarditis and some of these other issues, is we have to start digging into what this is and what it's doing. There's a lot of research suggesting editing of the gene coding within the human being, which is absolutely possible. You know, some of my
CRISPR
research
technology itself has been, they've been doing that. Yeah. When I did my deep dives into Epstein's connections to science, MIT, Harvard, it was all about gene editing and CRISPR right, technology. Right. But that would be, you would think, by choice. What we're talking about is not by choice.
No, it's not by choice. And then if you recall, I was up into one of the major universities a couple of weeks ago. Right. You and I were talking. And so I've got some interesting, I'm not going to talk about it today because we're going to talk about a different subject. But right. I actually have some actually microscopic views of some of the things in one of the vaccines. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. It's kind of an electronic technology that we superimposed it. And it's really cool stuff, but cool and scary. You know, again, one thing that the nice thing, you know, when you and I talk is science can be used for good or can be used for bad. And the more information that we know, the better off we'll be into position to counteract some of these negative things that are happening. And eventually what's going to happen is we're going to do a complete investigation. And part of that investigation will be auditing these pharmaceutical companies. And that's what I do for a living. So if you want, I can actually do a show on the process of how I would do it. I normally don't do that because I like to surprise. I audited a company actually this last week, and I love it when I lead them down a path and then I ask them the ultimate question. I hear crickets on the other side because they don't know how to respond. And it's actually my favorite part of an audit. But if you want, I can actually do a process of how we'd look at what they put into it. We could look at how we would audit the clinical trials. It would actually be exciting.
Well, let's do that at some point. The hard part about us is we like to do a couple shows a week, but I had the election and I was trying to get on as many people about the election. But now we're in the new battle. Like I said, don't look at November. Now, I said it before. November 8th was a battle, either win or lose. We won the battle, but we didn't win as much as we'd like to. But now we're on moving forward and into the new battle. It's like the Civil War. They didn't stop it. You know, Valley Forge, they didn't stop. They had to keep going. It's a war. A battle is won and the war continues. So let's get into the science we have today to give people a little bit of a respite and a little bit of an idea about what's out there and what's coming.
Let's have some fun today. So, so let's do this. I know a lot of people have been getting hitting me up on both emails and True Social.
Great.
As a reminder, don't ask me detailed questions on Truth Social. Send me an email. And a thank you to a lot of people that have been sending me some really good information. I've been talking to a gal, and I'm going to look her up because I'm going to give her a shout out next time, where she's in the process of PDFing the Dr. Swanson book with searchability, which is amazing. I mean, because that's kind of a foothold of a lot of research. However, I took that book, I took some of the references, and I've expanded, and I found some really cool stuff. Cool. All right. So it is pretty exciting. So I'm going to only talk about this area just for a moment, because there's some new science coming out, and I want to talk about that a little bit today. So two things I want to talk about. This first one is they've got these apps now that maps your brain so that they can rewire it. This to me is scary. There's a lot of this stuff coming out right now. And this kind of supports, Mel, some of the discussions that we've had of, they've already mapped out the human brain. They already know the frequencies of each individual. And this goes into MK Ultra and the ability to manipulate the human mind. Right. And the technology is much farther along than we really expected. Although I tell you this all the time, but then there's also this thing called the ARC. I don't know if you've seen this now. It's an ultra crystal that was done by the physicist Nassim. What was his last name? Harman. Harman.
Oh yeah, I know him. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. He's brilliant.
That guy, his talks are fascinating.
He is amazing.
He's got a great personality for somebody so smart.
He's the epitome. When sometimes scientists, a lot of us, are so smart, but they can't communicate or explain.
Yeah, he's great.
He's exceptional. But he's come out with this new crystal that you can wear. And this goes back to some of the ancient technology, too, where he can create the arc to have a particular frequency. So you wear this necklace and it creates balance in your body based on your auras and your frequencies, right? And this subtle energy that we've been talking about. And it's amazing. But what's really interesting about his research is he's created the perfect crystal. Now, we've talked about, if you recall, back in a lot of my Egyptian research with the pyramids, remember we talked about these different types of healing chambers and everything. So But you can only do it if you have a perfectly tuned and aligned crystal. So what he does is, out of his, because he's got the technology to do it, right? He creates the crystals that do exactly that. And so this is one of the new advancements in a positive side that's being created. And we've also talked about the prototypes that are also working with subtle energy in this quantum physics and this quantum technology to these subtle fields. Right. So Dr. Swanson talked about it. You know, we've got the Rife machine. There's a lot of products coming out. And I will kind of pause here. I do this every time we talk about this type of technology. There's also a lot of the fake technology coming out. So I get a lot of people saying, hey, Mike, check out this, check out this, check out this. And we got to be careful at this point because these buzzwords, people are using it to manipulate and use it to their advantage. So I don't endorse any products at this time. I'm seeing some really good products coming out. When I endorse a product, if I do moving forward, it's only going to be because I completely agree with what it's doing and I'll have no financial interest in it whatsoever. I will, because that's a complete conflict of interest. So I want to kind of stress that this thing is alarming. There's a bunch of these things coming out. And
honestly, Michael, what's so scary is just like with the CBDC, the Central Bank Digital Currency, and the digital international digital ID. A lot of people that don't watch us, most of the people that watch us get that they're being tracked, traced, surveilled, their biometrics taken, and they are some number in somebody's ledger being watched. But a lot of people, especially people that were raised on the internet and phones and stuff, don't, I don't think really get that these apps and these QR codes they're downloading, and that the whole goal of the international, which they talked about at the G20 and new B20, I didn't even know about that till this week, is all about the same thing. It's about totally tracking and tracing humanity and changing behavior by force. So, you know, it's scary because a lot of these younger generation people, they're like, oh, it's easier not to have, you know, to have a digital currency that's controlled by the one world government, or, you know, it doesn't matter where the apps go. Well, one app like this could be sending your data to law enforcement, to intelligence, to other, to other consumer product people, to investors. So, you know, it's scary enough, A, but B, if they're going right for your brain, you know, that's even scarier.
Yeah, we got to be cautious with technology and how it's working. You know, CRISPR technology, if it used was for pretty good, is amazing. I know, for example, there's a drug that's in development that can eliminate the need for chemotherapy and can help cure cancer.
Oh, wow, that would be
so. It's amazing, and I got to be really careful here, but. There's also some technology, like, you know, we talked about the med beds before and what it can do. And I'm pretty sure what some of the science is. I'm absolutely sure I don't know all of it. But now the subtle energy that we've been talking about now for a few weeks, I have a good understanding of what it is. And there's some technology that's been developed that can utilize it in a really good way. So again, I want to say that there still has to be some degree of oversight on this so we can eliminate these people that are manipulating it. But before we do that, let's talk about something kind of fun. So I was doing the Dr. Swanson research. And by the way, I've gone through now, I think, 400 pages. So I've hit a milestone. I'm really proud of that. So,
and you have a full-time job. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know,
it's heavy lifting.
It's heavy lifting. And I've had a couple of 12, 13-hour days back to back. So the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of swamped. But I want to talk about something fun today. Let's talk about the human eye. And bear with me on this one. We're not going to go off the shelf on this show, Mel. But one of the things that we've talked about in, many, many times is that the human eye can only see at a specific band, right? And so with that, we know that there's bands or additional wavelengths that are out there and different light frequencies that we can't see. But it's not that we can't see it. It's that we can't process it, right? So what does that mean, Mike? Where are you going with this? So if you look at this spectrum, can you see this pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at this spectrum, we have what we call the visible light that the human eye is going to be able to see. And however, there's also all of these other ones out there And some of these, by the way, the pineal gland can actually access this. And I suspect that part of that is through the light spectrum that it helps the eye see it. If your pineal gland hasn't been developed, like psychics, right? They develop that ability, and the pineal gland is much stronger. They can see outside of these, or auras that we talk about, right? And it's also in the Swanson book. The first four chapters talk about this aura and the ability to see it. But that kind of gets me into something that was kind of interesting as I was going through there. So I'm going to show you something kind of funny. Well, it's not funny. It's cool. So this was an old article back in the 1913s through the 1917s, where the application of cyanide, it was used for photography into an alternate spectrum that the human eye couldn't see. Now, what does that mean? So what they were doing was they were trying to access these that area that was outside of this visible spectrum. Okay? Make sense so far?
Yeah.
And so this article, actually, you can get this online. It's really easy. I actually have the whole thing downloaded, and Mel just mentioned something really cool that you were able to, I can download some of my articles. Yeah. I highly recommend people look this up and read this, because this is really interesting. And when you're looking at it, some of it gets a little bit technical in terms of the bandwagon and different things like that, but that's okay. Just kind of look at it, because this particular substance, there's a lot of speculation about what it can do and why it works. Now, we're going to get into that in a second. And what's also interesting is this was then banned by the United States and in Europe predominantly, where you couldn't use this anymore around 1940. And the question was why? Because it was being used for quite a bit. So I always ask that question. And then I want to show you, I'm going to jump way ahead because I want to show you, this is funny. Fact check, U.S. makes cyanide dye illegal because of its supernatural properties. So as soon as you do a search on this, your first 25 articles is going to be why this isn't true. So what I do, of course, as you know, is I want to cross-reference this. But as soon as I see this, just like your response, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. It's all fake news, right? So let's look at this. So what is it? It's basically a dye. And there's actually ways that you can make this. You can make this out of coal tar. It's actually a substance that is, you do have the ability to make it. However, what's interesting about this is there was an individual that took this, put this into a lens, and was able to see things that the human eye couldn't see. He could see auras around people. And his information, by the way, was used in the book that I was reading. So I kind of did a little deep dive into the research. So let's talk about, if we talked about this visible light, let's talk about also how the human eye is going to process this information. So if we've got, I like this picture, I just threw this up on Google, I'm going to talk about it in a minute. So what's really cool is if you look at the human eye and it sees an object, what it does then processes it through, goes down to the optic nerve, goes into the brain. Now, this is how we supposedly understand this, right? The optical nerve takes the information, throws it into your brain, which is interesting. It goes right through the pineal gland into the visual cortex, and it tells you what you're seeing. However, it's extremely limited, right, Mel? Mm-hmm. Because of that limited eye one. Yeah. So what these guys are trying to do is say, hey, can we see these other light bands? And night vision is a perfect example of that, where you can see at night, right? And they're really, have you ever used night vision goggles, by the way, Mel?
I tried them on once, actually, and it's really creepy. we were camping, and I was with friends, and there was a bear far away, and nobody could see him. People with them, and I saw it, and then I was scared, so I went the other direction. But they're amazing. But what you're saying is, if that's possible, everything's possible, right?
That's where I'm going with this. What I'm going to go with this is by using these different types of lenses, you can see, and we talked about this before, and don't freak out, people, but there's alternate dimensions and other alternate wavelengths where we're in a room, we're only seeing a small portion of what's really in that room. And we're going to kind of talk about some really cool stories. So this started with Dr. Kilner in 1911. So he took that, that book was based on this. And so what his original work was he developed these glasses because he wanted to use them in for medical diagnosis and prognosis. So this guy actually was trying to find a way to see this aura activity that he was seeing around the people. And if you look at the books that we were reading and talking about over the last couple of weeks, psychics had this ability to see this aura around people, right? But what that aura really is this subtle energy that we've been talking about. However, back in 1911, this was actually produced, and this guy, many scientists took up on this. They all started running with this and doing this research. It's really cool, right?
Yeah.
And it gets me really excited. So I want to show you a picture of what his actually looked like. These are actually it. So what these are, though, which is kind of cool, is these, they're in here is a lens, right? There's two pieces of glass that are put together, and in there is that dicyanide, that blue substance. And it allowed him or people that would wear them to see these auras or see this vision in light that human eye normally couldn't see or process. That's kind of the important thing is processing. So he started doing this article, and here was kind of interesting thing. Here's a newer version of these things, which have also been banned. You can't see these anymore. By another doctor that he mysteriously disappeared, which was kind of interesting. So I said, so what is this all about? What's the big deal of these things? And what can they do? So then I cross-referenced this to some articles, The Secret of Seeing Charlie in the Dark, based on techno-anxiety. So this is an abstract that was done during the Vietnam War. They started to do this, and it was also noticed during World War II, where they started kind of playing with these different types of night vision goggles. Okay. I'm going to pause. Do you have any questions at this point? Because I want to go into something really cool.
No, I find it very fascinating. All right.
So I cross-referenced this article to CIA articles back into the 40s, 50s, and 60s, specifically because to see if there's actually some truth to this. So the introduction of night vision technology during the Vietnam War transformed how men and women were able to see at night. However, what was interesting about their first version of this thing where they were using these blue dyes is they started to notice that their Vietnam soldiers that were utilizing these had these psychotic events that were happening. And I cross-referenced that. And here's kind of an interesting one within that article that was kind of buried in there. It gave them a tactile advantage, but they also had to pay a price for this new technology. Burdened by the scope and weight, untrusted technology, and extreme secrecy, these men started to suffer. The endured physical and physiological and emotional stress unforeseen by the military leaders who pushed them and forced them to use those during the Cold War. Transformed day into night, but it also started to these soldiers, Mel, started to go crazy. They were starting to see things that other people couldn't see. And there's the CIA articles. And if you go back in, guys, go in and look at, do research into this. This is amazing. There's one story in particular that was referenced in the CIA articles, Mel, where the pilots were ordered not to use these devices. It was actually these, very similar. Okay.
Yeah.
The soldiers were required to wear them during flights where they were going into combat zones. The pilots and the superior office, the commanding officer on the helicopters, as they were transporting him in, were not allowed to wear these goggles, only the soldiers. But then these soldiers started to freak out. And even during transport in neutral territory, they started firing their weapons like crazy. It was kind of crazy, right?
Right.
But what was happening was, as they did further research on this, and I'll try to find the CIA article, because it's so much blacked out, again, it's hard to see.
Right.
But one of the things that they referenced was they said that they were seeing things in using those glasses that weren't seen by the human eye. They were seeing, one of them in particular said they were seeing demons, right? That once they saw them, they would come after them. And they started firing at these things. And the commanding officers are, what the hell's going on? What are you doing? Until there was actual documentation where the commanding officer put these things on and he was seeing the same thing within the same dimensions. And so the commanding officer ordered everyone on all of the helicopters that were being transferred to take these things off because these guys were having these psychotic events.
But were they having psychotic events, or were they seeing things that aren't able to be seen by the regular eye?
It's exactly it. It wasn't psychotic events, like they said. And if you look into these articles, they knew that they were having these psychotic events. That's not what was happening. What was happening was they were seeing things that were present that we can't normally see.
Well, that is just too crazy. Well, what did I just tell you, though? The only time I ever tried them on was when I was camping, and there was literally a black bear within, you know, maybe a few yards behind us. And yeah. I couldn't see it, but other people could. And then I put on the thing, I see this giant black bear. But I couldn't see, I could see everything around, but he blended into the thing. And then, of course, I'm very wimpy and I ran the other way. And then they were like, don't run. You know, I'm a very wimpy person when it comes to being scared. But I really recall that there was no way I could see this bear right there. And he was right there.
Yeah. And so
I mean, it's not the same thing that you're saying, that it's like other dimensions and stuff. But for me, once you put on those glasses, it's a whole different world.
Yeah. And so, and where I'm going with this is, during a lot of the research from a scientific perspective, they were trying to understand what this subtle energy is. And it's an aura that's creating. And what's very interesting is, like, if you look at like some of the psychic research that they do, the aura is changing in different colors depending on the person. Now, so these glasses and these lenses are giving the human eye in the brain the ability to process something that's there that we don't see. That's the cool part about this whole thing. So this is kind of a side. I kind of went down a rabbit hole this week, only because I was doing the research and I stumbled on this. I says, well, what's the impact of this? And so now my new project is I'm going to make some of these lenses and we're going to see if this is actually true. So I know how to make this product. And so I'm going to make them just for fun. And we're going to see if we can do like if we're doing a video, if we can see different images. But what's also interesting about these night fishing goggles, if you talk to some of these people that see them, they see these unidentified flying. I'm calling them UFOs. I'm not using I don't know what the new name for these things are that they're trying to change the image of. But they see these,
like,
UFOs.
Off world something. So I don't.
Yeah, it's a stupid one. It's a UFO. But even soldiers that use night vision see things out into the sky, for example, that normally aren't seen.
Right.
And so you're starting to see, even if, let's say, it was a cloaking device or a different frequency or a different dimension, you can see into these things using these glasses. Now, this goes back to, again, when we talk about like subtle energy with different ones. What's very interesting in one of the articles that was done in the CIA was, they said that certain human beings do not display any aura, which was interesting. So,
and aura is connected to the whole torsion field thing, right?
Or is torsion field things. It's completely directed towards it. But I also think it's directed directly towards the human soul and the consciousness as well. And so,
yeah. You know, I just want to say one thing. Here's the first thing I want to say is, that now America says this isn't true, but what China and what I hear is being tested in Ukraine is soldiers, which might be the purge of our soldiers for easily manipulated replacement soldiers, are being implanted with stuff in China and CCP. They don't hide it. There's articles about their super soldiers with exoskeletons. But implants, like you know, like Musk talks about, like Harari talks about. But I've also heard about implants that have something to do with night vision, like that shifts your vision, like, you know, those lenses you can get that are like day and night outside, but that they have them for sold. If you read about the super soldier stuff from China, if it's being used in the CCP, every big military has it, including ours. I'm sure DARPA developed it to begin with, but what you're saying is what I've been reading on and off about, you know, the CCP bragging about their new super soldiers, or I don't know, go watch the first or second Terminator or the third. But it appears that all of this stuff is in play and is in play on the battlefield, or at least being tested on the battlefield. A lot of people don't know. I've done a lot of deep dives into it. A lot of military equipment that is really advanced and some of the stuff you're talking about is being tested right now in Ukraine, which is why a lot of our money, a lot of our money is really going and with NATO. But is this possibly like connected to that whole concept of creating super soldiers and implanting some of this technology?
The technology is there, and it already exists. Your super soldiers, we could do a whole session on that, because there's several different types of versions of super soldiers. There's AI. There's the manipulation of the human body to enhance particular features. Right. There's so many different variations and genetic modification. So genetically creating a specific soldier for a particular function. The AI is interesting, and we've not talked about that for a little bit. So I kind of keep an eye on AI. And there was a new AI. Well, it's a robot. It's robotics. But this they program this thing that looks like a human with no skin or different things. So it's just basically this white shell with this appearance of this thing. And this thing was performing functions with exact precision, more efficiently, stronger than the human body could. So this thing, they showed the different versions of this machine, and it's an amazing video. A friend of mine who's deals with this and does a lot of the government work sent me this really cool video. Yeah. But this thing now can like jump, do flips backwards with exact precision. So basically whatever they program this thing to do, it can do.
Now, and then I think some of them, that GPT-3, GPT-4, all that stuff that Gates and Schmidt and everyone's invested in, they actually think that they're thinking. Like I was talking to Zach Voorhees, that whistleblower from Google, and he was saying, you know, what they're telling us about these sentient AIs from Google, like they're way ahead of that. Like if you go back in 20 years and watch the original Terminator, when they talk about the skin, and because you're talking about the ones that they're showing us. But I'm being told that there are plenty out there that you wouldn't even know, that because they're using silicon and all kinds of things. This is all very scary technology. But like we said, and people have seen it in movies, there's already predictive programming for us to accept when these do arrive and we have to kind of deal with them. I hear a lot of the CCP, people can look this up, newscasters are already that they're humanized AI robots like GPT-3, GPT-4. They're probably on GP-15 by now. but we have to be honest that, like, you know, go back. I encourage people, go back and watch the original Terminator and understand that this technology was there all along. Nobody came up with it for the movie. It's the opposite. And they came up with it because it was being developed or already known about.
Yeah, this you and I've talked about this 1,000 times, that the technology that we see, you know, it's three, four decades old.
And that's why Noah Harari laughs at us.
Right. I mean, and I want to do an interesting one on the prediction of 9/11 back about 10, 15 years before 9/11, where they were gloating about it. They were actually in a bunch of pictures. They actually show 9/11 on the screen or different things like that. I want to do a whole show on this because I've done some research on it. And they were literally throwing it in our face and predicted that 9/11 was going to happen.
Well, if people have seen the picture at Jeffrey Epstein's house of George Bush sitting on the ground with paper planes and with a fallen, you know, it's like a little kid and stuff. Of course, you know, I mean, We that'll be a whole nother show, but it is worthwhile looking at what really, you know, happened there, because what's happening in Ukraine is a similar situation planned a long time ago. I have found so much evidence that the war in Ukraine was a foregone conclusion, and it was all set up a long time ago for exactly what's going on there. But back to our topic at hand, they're testing a lot of technology, military technology on the ground in Ukraine. A lot of this money is being laundered there under the guise of whatever. But I'm telling you, people are coming out, people I trust, that, you know, the mainstream media and fake Twitter fact checkers and whatever can call crazy people. They have evidence. They are testing all kinds of very dangerous technology in Ukraine for military and militarized cops, police, right now in real time, while we're not paying attention and the people have no voice. So, you know, this is a really serious thing, because if they're doing it there, we know that our government is paying for it.
Yeah, let's talk about some of that technology and how it's working against the American people. You know, let me switch gears. I want to talk about something.
Oh, I probably ruined your entire.
No. This is these conversations are important. I love it because you also give me good ideas at the same time. So I got to write something down here. But so if a lot of this is an information war,
right?
And so this isn't the standard type of war. So what we're trying to do is pull back, and once you realize the truth, you come back and you're like, oh my God, I would have never known. See, I got a sidetrack in some of my downtime, Mel. That I'll ask you for a second. I started watching this show called The Blacklist. Have you ever heard of that show?
Yeah, I know that show well.
What's interesting about that, so I just watched a couple seasons because every once in a while I do a binge where I just need a downtime watch.
Yeah, if you find a good one, he's awesome. Yeah.
The first three seasons were pre-Trump, and everything that happened in those three seasons is what's happening right now. It's amazing. So guys, go back and look at that. It's extremely interesting that a lot of the stuff I'm watching the show and Tracy and I are like, holy shit, that's happening like right now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I talk a lot. I do another show. I started with these film people. And we were talking about last week was predictive programming, which I can take back to the beginning of filming and show you where they were telling us, setting us up to accept something that's coming in the future that's already planned. But right, it looks new in the movies or unrealistic, like Terminator or War Games or any number of movies. But that's interesting that you're saying that, because here's the thing. Everyone thought Hillary was going to win. So if for the 3 years prior to Trump winning, Blacklist, which is very connected at the very top to the entire cabal, if you look at the producers and all of it and him, what you're going to see is that they probably thought that the Hillary Clinton Obama plan, the 16-year plan or whatever you want to call it, was going to go along lockstep. Right. So then right after, and interesting, Michael, because I'm going to look into this. I bet you that's not the only show that changed everything the minute Trump won.
Everything changed a lot. Those first three seasons were pre-Trump. But what's very interesting about that is that one of the first times that you actually heard the term cabal. And so when I was going back and I was looking at I first started watching the first couple of shows. And I'm not a big TV watcher normally. But, you know, I needed some downtime. But what's very interesting is those first couple of seasons was like a preset for what we're going through now. They talked about a virus coming through, being spanned through.
Oh, right.
They talked about the cabal. They talked about a cabal and this hidden government to take over, all these different things. And we're watching this like, oh, my God. So then when you watch things now, it's once you see it, you're like, oh, my God, they're programming us. But so this isn't just an informational war. This is also what I call a technology war, because, and what I mean by that is all of this technology is being used to suppress the human consciousness and the human body and control. So this is something that I've talked about from a very, very long time is you've got 5G, you've got these movies that are coming through, we've got our chemtrails, we've got all of these things that are individually, you look at it and go, okay, well, no, it wasn't. It's a conspiracy. It's irrelevant. But when you start adding all of these things up, you take a step back, you start to see a picture, right? And this picture is this control of the human species as we know it. They're trying to do it. TikTok, right?
Yeah.
The Facebook.
Technocracy, people call it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of this was, but do you remember back about, and I hate to do this, especially for your new listeners, but about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I started talking about all these species of animals that have been disappearing because of this EMF and these towers. Remember that? We talked about these butterflies were disappearing. And we've seen over the last 8 years, more extinct species than we have if you take the last 100 years and add them up. And a big piece of this is these towers changing the frequencies. We keep talking about this good frequency versus bad frequency. And what we're seeing is this technology is causing the human body and its frequency to change. A lot of these, I think dementia is a big piece of this, right? I think cancer is a big piece of this. And so this technology is causing this. So I started doing some research in dementia. How long far back does this really go? How long does it have this effect? Now, the caveat in the argument from a scientist would be was you didn't have the technology to know that it existed, so you couldn't see it, right? Like cancer. Back before technology got into like the you know, the different levels. Remember the layers that I talk about in terms of advancement of technology? Yeah. You wouldn't have known what cancer was because you wouldn't have been able to tell what it was. You knew somebody was sick, but you didn't know what it was. And then as progressing, we're like, oh, we got this technology. Now we see what it is. And technology on a good point has really taken us closer to what we call the med beds, for example, where it's understanding the subtle energy and utilization of it and helping the human body doing it. But there's the flip side to that. And that's the negative aspects and the intentional manipulation of this information and knowledge to use it to control us. Now that we're aware of it, we have to combat it. And so I get all these emails. People say, Mike, I'll mention one. This guy sends me an email and it's like, I'm frantic. I need your help. I get these every once in a while. Oh my God, I need your help now. It's really important. And what they do is everything's in bold, the first paragraph. And so I'll look at this. And one of his comments was, my brother is taking these medications, like psychotic medications, because he hears voices. And he says, what do I do? And all these, my brother looks at your shows and he's like, oh my God, am I hearing voices? Am I not hearing voices? Is one of the questions that he asks. And the psychotic medicines in themselves, a lot of them, there's more and more evidence as I've been researching it. They don't work and they knew they didn't work. So the question is, if they knew they didn't work and all this data was out there, is it doing it to make money? Or is there an ulterior motive for these medications? Because if you've noticed a lot of these mass shootings, all these kids are on meds, psychotic meds.
The kids, every single one of these kids, everyone.
Yes, every one of them. So the question
somehow,
is—
somehow, almost every one of them, the FBI and local police already knew about. It's very shocking, but you're right. There has to be a connection there.
Yeah. So my question is the psychotic medication changing the brain structure to allow the mind to be altered from a different type of EMF or a different frequency? So I said to this guy individually, it's very possible. Now, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not ever going to give medical opinions on anything. However, what I did say to him is it's very likely that he doesn't need those meds. And if he's hearing voices, it's maybe he's hearing a different frequency or there's being intentional ones. So I did say to him individually, I said, also, by the way, look to see if there's some towers or any type of EMF devices closer to your home. So yeah, he hasn't gotten back to me.
It's time to ask those questions because like I told you, I did a different show about, there was an executive order by the O'Biden regime. Now, remember, Obama was the one who started this brain initiative that seemed really good, like it was going to help.
Yes, he did.
But it is not what that is doing. It is doing more along the lines of what you're talking about. And people should be aware of that was an Obama gift, just like most of the bioweapons labs. But I have to say that, this is a really interesting place to go in the future, because what we are learning now is, my own sister fought against, when she was still a young psychiatrist, still affiliated with a fellowship, was doing a lot in DC. She and a lot of other people said that only psychiatrists with psychopharmacology should be able to prescribe and monitor psychiatric drugs. This was shot down by, all the big pharma, big med, the Rockefeller Institute, everyone know. And so then we had the advent of general practitioners and other kinds of doctors, MDs, being able to prescribe psychiatric meds. It was always known that psychiatric meds without therapy and treatment and monitoring by somebody who knows what they are was a waste. But what happened in the last year and a half by O'Biden is they put in an executive order to put 60,000 mental health professionals hired under diversity, equity, and inclusion, not because they're extraordinary child psychiatrists or child psychologists. None of them really are. They're getting these like kind of pseudo social justice psychology degrees that they want to put them in 12,000 schools, K through 12 in America, and have them be able to refer students for psychiatric drugs. And this is very dangerous, but it's along the lines of what you're saying. And I want people to be aware. It was an actual executive order. And this guy's running executive orders out of, I don't know where, but it's a giant win for the psychopharmacology and pharmaceutical industry. And on top of that, we already have a record number of people on antidepressants and a record number of people on Adderall, which is so addictive. And I know many people who have, their lives have been destroyed, similar to being addicted to cocaine because of Adderall. But what Biden's regime is pushing, like Noah Harari talks about on stage at the World Economic Forum only 3 months ago, was what are we going to do about all these useless people? Well, Harari says we're going to have to drug them. And you know, they're going to have to live off of video games and universal basic income. Well, coming down the pike are, but, and they don't want parents involved in schools anymore. And now they're going to empower social justice, Teach for America doctors to now go K through 12. And again, don't forget, they're eliminating the parents' rights. And if parents object to puberty blockers right now, CPS is showing up. Well, the next phase of this is what you're talking about, I believe. And we have to be very cognizant of, you know, it's time to really start asking the questions, who benefits from this, really?
Yeah. And the other thing is that as soon as they deal with these issues, even I know even when my boys were back in school, and I think we've talked about this. I don't know if we did, but they said, you know, your son is not learning at the ability that is expected. So we think he has ADHD. And so we'd like to prescribe some medicine. And the first and foremost is I'm like, hell no, you know. And by the way, he's actually a mechanical engineer and he graduated extremely high.
This is what I'm talking about. It happened to your son and almost my friend's kids.
A lot of parents just do it. Yeah.
And now because of this regime and the takeover of education and the teachers unions and the denial of parental rights and all of that, the next phase for these people is going straight for your kids without your consent. And if you have a problem with it, but I'm telling you, they're taking it to the next level. We had ADHD, Ritalin and Adderall given to tens of millions, if not 100 million children. They're going to be going for the harder core drugs that you're talking about, like the antipsychotics and the antidepressants, real strong ones. I mean, Prozac and Paxil are enough, but I'm talking about next level. And they're going to be handing this ability to the same people that right now can put your kids on puberty blockers on a massive scale. It's very important what you're talking about for people to understand and understand that the O'Biden regime put in an executive order to facilitate this to happen.
Yeah, we have to kind of take a step back here. And you and I have talked about schools many times. You know, first and foremost, I think that any group that has children in a particular school, the first thing first and foremost is they should be able to access those libraries and see exactly what books are in that library. And somebody from Texas sent me something that was kind of interesting, Mel, and that was they used to have a parent would sit in the classroom each day, a different parent with their children That's in these good. Classes, so they could listen to what was being, information was being disseminated. It is a clear objective. And here's an interesting story. So Tracy's Vietnamese. She escaped during the Vietnam War.
Right.
But what's really interesting is when I hear some of these stories, one of the interesting stories was they would tell the children to tell on their parents, are they hiding money? Are they doing anything? And they would, if they did that, they brought in front of the class. They said, this kid is a great kid because he gave us this information, where they were trying to a lot of times survive. But if you had money, and you would hide, they'd hide it in the walls or different things like that. And if you went and told the teacher, they were rewarded. So that's no different in terms of, that's a communist control. You start at the child and then you control them. By the time they're adults, they become completely, they're a zombie. Right. That's exactly what we're seeing now. We saw it during World War II with the concentration camps. People need to wake up. Now, these drugs, and something I've said all along is they're utilizing the technology, including these drugs, to gain further control. The more technology they have, the more they can utilize it. But there's also a lot of us on the good side, right, that we're digging into this, and I'm looking at a lot of this stuff, and I'm like, well, what the hell? What do you mean you're talking about seeing different versions of things that are out there, but then they ban it? They don't want us to know about it. So my question is, why? Why are they doing that? Why is this technology being hidden? All this Russian research that was being done, all of this German research. So their science is way ahead of ours because our Western culture completely suppressed this information.
Well, we don't know, again, if their science is way ahead of ours. We know that their science is way ahead of what transparency to we the people, or even scientists on your level, or even people with clearance have. Because the more you dig into all this stuff, then you find out that there's this special agency underneath this special agency that knows this and that. Like, you've talked about the compartmentalization of all of this. But, you know, like, we're talking about the technology with even night vision goggles and all of this. It's really about the brain. It's really about what the brain, or about, you know, expanding that idea, what we've been taught already, to include other things. And I don't want people to think that we're saying some psychiatric drugs. I know people who've been saved by, especially,
I agree with that.
Have bipolar or have real bad schizophrenia. I have one friend I've dealt with for decades. When she is on her meds, she is awesome and a genius. When she's off her meds, she is way more of a genius, but not well, and very hard to follow. And you can tell. And, you know, I understand there's a trade-off with these drugs but again, I still believe only a psychiatrist that is licensed and is able to do that. You should not be taking those drugs unless you have another component and oversight and stuff, but we're way past that point. Once Hillary Clinton, it was during Hillary care that this happened, that they allowed all doctors, pediatricians, general practitioners, all of it to happen. And then don't forget, Michael, what we're talking about now, we just saw the guy from Pfizer, the veterinarian running Pfizer, who's now a multi-billionaire after COVID, came out and said that they have new programmable drugs that'll alert the doctor when you take it. And he said, and he laughed and he goes, imagine the compliance. So we have to start being a little smarter in terms of baby with the bathwater and this stuff. But Michael, like, listen, if that is what the guy from Pfizer is saying, and then you got psychiatric drugs that directly affect the brain and people on them, and we don't know the components outside, but if the guy from Pfizer is saying that somebody somewhere, you know, connected to the World Health Organization or the CDC, I'm assuming, or the NIH, can monitor a pill inside your body, and when you take it, and will alert them, i.e. what we talked about in the beginning, QR codes, chips, whatever, that you are compliant with that drug. Well, imagine all the people that don't know that they're being monitored while they're testing that technology. Because if that guy's on the stand applauding that technology that they already have, along with Ma and other people, the guy from Ericsson, you know, if they're all up there talking about that, it already exists. And then that's really what the big picture of, I think, everything you're saying is, this stuff exists. It does.
It does. Yeah. What you're talking about is extremely scary because, you know, chemical reactions, the pharmaceutical drug is always watched for the safety and efficacy. And there's always the side effects that are monitored in the normal process. And so science at the time, tries to make an attempt to correct things that are wrong. That was what we would do. Now we're understanding that there's a lot more advanced technology. Let's take that off the plate for a minute. Let's talk about what you're saying. Because what you just said is very alarming. Because think about the vaccine and think about that statement. The ability to monitor and have the knowledge that somebody took a drug or they needed to take a drug means that that technology is transmitting information somewhere.
Right.
That is extremely alarming for me. First and foremost, you violated the complete rights of a human being because you're taking it. And by the way, you're walking around. They know everything that you're doing. Take your phone, for example, like With me, when I'm done at the end of a day, my phone goes into a lead box and you don't know I exist. Right. I do that intentionally, right?
Yeah.
But, I'm not a crazy one of those tinfoil guys, right? But right. What you're saying is extremely alarming because there's a lot of information that's coming out. Let's just look at the vaccine, for example. I've shown many times that there's alternate self-designing materials that are into these vaccines, right? We've talked about them. We've talked about the technology with nanotechnology. But to put it in every drug, and he's talking about the ones that he is mentioning, how do we know or not know, by the way? You okay?
Yeah, no, I just thought I heard something. But I'm like, is somebody listening to us?
I know, it's always weird. I do the same thing all the time. But what really alarms me is if that already exists, how do we know that we're not already doing it? How do we know that that technology is in there and we won't?
Yeah, and what I ask anyone who's watching this, because I you know, Mike, I have a new thing where it's like, don't trust me. Go listen to them. Go look up Brula at the World Economic Forum, sitting up there. It's still on YouTube because they're very proud. Compliance, drugs, Pfizer CEO, World Economic Forum. He's saying, imagine the compliance and laughs.
Yeah.
They already know that they have that technology. And the whole room clapped. These lunatics in Davos clapped at the compliance of the everyday man taking a drug, not realizing that drug is enslavement.
The problem that we have, though, and I will mention this. I know we're tight on time today, so we're going to do maybe another show in a couple of days. But the problem that I'm even facing right now is a lot of the research that I used to be able to go to is gone. And it's becoming harder and harder for the average person to do research and look up things. So when I give references, it's because I specifically found and sought those things out. And the other thing that I do is all of my research that I've been doing for you for the last several years, I have copies of everything.
Right.
Everything. But it's harder now for the average person to read about these technologies and the different science because the articles or the information is gone. However, go back and listen to some of my older ones where I say, if the article itself isn't there, the references or at least the foundation of the research is, just dig deeper. And it takes time. Those articles that I showed today, for example, took me a long time to dig in and find it.
Right.
But it's there.
I want people to know that we're doing a lot of upgrades for 2023. We're changing up a lot of stuff. We are adding a Mike L. Resources section to the MelkKShow.com resources page. If you're not going there already, you should. There's a lot of this D-class he talks about from CIA and all kinds of stuff there, but we're adding a Mike L. section. So we're going to start working on that. And hopefully when we launch the next level Mel K. Show coming in the new year, there'll be a running and past current list of Michael's most important resources he thinks you should have or articles he thinks you should know about, read, D-class. So he'll have his own section there at themelkshow.com/resources. So that'll be a big deal. And we're also going to put up all of Mike's older shows, which go back and they are timeless. Many of them are about different technologies, but also about not just about COVID and vaccines, but about pyramids and ancient civilizations and penal plan and just so much good info. So we're also going to have a section where you can just watch old and current and old Mike L videos. So we're really going to step it up. But Mike's taught so much, so many topics, and really has gifted me with a lot of knowledge. And I know gifted a lot of people out there as they come up to me and tell me whenever I go anywhere. So a lot of this stuff is very, very important for people to understand that, you know, do your own research and all of that. And we're very open, both of us, because there's so many engineers and scientists, you would talk about it a lot, people with patents and all that, that have been silenced or gave up. And we want people that are motivated and have information to feel like they have somewhere to take it, that it's going to matter.
Safely. You know, a lot of the times, and by the way, one of the scientists that put out some of this research on those lenses, by the way, has disappeared and they've not seen them since 2010. And that seems to be a trend. The good news is there's a lot of scientists now that are communicating from all different countries. And I've told you this many times before. What's really interesting is even though they hide the information, there's still communication pathways on the back end that we can still communicate.
And like there are for people fighting for God and country and freedom and the cabal. Science is a big part of it. Science has been hijacked. It's been used as a weapon, as healthcare and all of it has, by the same exact people, same money. And we just got to keep uncovering it. And Michael, you're the best of the best in my mind. We got to schedule a couple different shows this week. This is kind of an overview of what we're talking about, but look into some of this stuff. It's really shocking. Yeah. And then, you know, when people have eye transplants, LASIK, all this stuff, these are technologies, I think, that they have way more out there that, you know, whoever thought that somebody could have their eyes fixed 10 years ago, you know, like and never need glasses again. So like, think about that level of knowledge that must be had behind the scenes and being held back.
Yeah, I get a lot of criticism from some of my peers that completely left the industry. And they say, you know the truth, but yet you still stay in there. And I get a lot of angry friends of mine or peers, but I tell them that when this dust settles and when all of the information starts pouring out, they're going to need people that stuck through that so they understand it, so that when we reach the other side of the bridge that you and I talk about all the time, eventually after we win your war, which is the elections, the truth, and that part comes out, then the science is going to be released. And they need people that are still in the trenches fighting on the good side of it. And so that's why I'm here.
Well, the real war is the hijacking of science and technology and weapons and mind control and all that is the real war. The war that we're fighting on the ground in America is besides the war. The real war is the American people have to unify across the board, regardless of their current status that they picked or the group they chose, because the real war is international. And it's about what you're talking about more than this. It's about total and complete control and enslavement of humanity that they decide to allow to live. And we're on the side of God and it's not up to them. So the war is bigger than we think, and you're part of the piece of the puzzle. But let me tell you something, science, technology, medicine, I mean, it has been so hijacked. But I always tell people to go to Corey's Digs. You look at some of the stuff she has in her red pill files about just the Rockefellers and the manipulation and the finance behind all of this, because she tracks a lot of that. It's exactly what you're saying. But you know what? I agree with you. There will be another side. This is God and humanity's battle. And humanity plays a big part, which is what you're saying. But yeah, we need people. You always say, the FDA can't go away. It needs to maybe be restructured, gutted, and the swamp drained. CDC can go away as far as I'm concerned. But
absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Get rid of that.
But the FDA, like you've said, and I meet a lot of people that tell me that they work there or they've been there when I'm on the road. And they say the same thing you said. There's a lot more good people than bad. It's the people at the very top that are in the revolving medical industrial complex, pharmaceutical industrial complex, revolving door with the government. But good people like you need to exist. We can't have a free for all. We still need some.
No, we need
good guys.
Protection.
But, you know, technology and science used by good guys is used for good. Used by bad guys is used for enslavement and evil. So you're one of the good guys. And I'm proud of you that you stuck with it, because I know many times in the last few years you wanted to say, I can't be a part of this anymore, but we need you. So thank you so much. And we'll see
you
in a few years. Thank
you,
Michael.
See you
soon.
Love
thank you.
You
so much. You too. Bye-bye. Hi, guys. Mel Kay here. I'm very excited to be here with my partners at My Daily Choice, because we are super excited about our CBD line. It keeps growing. I am a big fan of these patriots that are out there. They are producing this in America. They ship it from America. It is totally pure. It is the best I've found. After the last 2 years, guys, of the medical industrial complex and us watching this unfold, we have to realize that natural remedies, things that come from God, are actually the best medicine. What are you guys finding out there from people that respond to you, and from how you're using it and what it's doing for your life?
Well, it's changed our lives in a lot of ways. For her, sleep is one thing, mood, overall general health, just so many things. But the reason that works that way is because we all have an endocannabinoid system, which none of us were taught. No. I wasn't taught it in grad school. And it's there to give us homeostasis or balance in our bodies. It controls the other 10 body systems. Wow. So no wonder none of us felt too good, you know? So we hear all kinds of stories all every day about what it's doing for people.
Yeah. And for me, especially, I too, it's great for me for sleep, but also for mood, for kind of staying even keel with energy all day without the ups and downs. And I know I also have had many experiences with different products that you have. The coffee is great. The there's a makeup line. I mean, this is an amazing product and I really want everyone to go check it out. You can go to the partners page at the Mel Kay Show and you can see the link to my daily choice. And we are very excited to get our health back, to go into this next phase of the awakening and have some great products to use while we're getting on our A game to go back into the summer. So thank you so much, guys. And I will see you next time. And everyone, please go check out the Mel Kay Show at Partners and find the My Daily Choice tab and go check out all the products. There's so many products, you won't even believe it. I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Patriot Pals. I am here again to talk to you about something that's concerning me, and it might be concerning you. I would really like everyone to take seriously the Executive Order 14067 and go read it for yourselves. This is about the central bank digital currency, and this would then take all of our banking systems as we know them and put them into a centralized banking system. Central bank digital currency they are talking about is programmable tokens. Programmable tokens attached to a ESG social credit governance score. The central bank digital currency is track and trace money that would be controlled by the private Western Central Bank, essentially taking our free will to do as we wish with our financial assets. And in turn, the government could watch everything we buy, track and trace every purchase, anything we're investing on. They can then, on that end, go after you with taxes and liens and other financial tools that can really take away your ability to live the life that you choose with life, liberty, pursuit of happiness as you see fit. What we've seen in 2021 and 2022 with the Federal Reserve and the printing of cash is an influx where 40% of the US dollars out there have been printed in the last 2 years, devaluing our dollar dramatically. The rest of the world right now is strongly considering returning back to the gold standard and leaving the reserve currency of the US dollar behind. This has been a result of the sanctions in Russia and other sanctions by our government on foreign countries that no longer trust the US dollar. And I think the best thing we can do is A, know that we have to weather this storm. We have a financial storm brewing. We are going to get through it. America will prevail. But in the meantime, I really am suggesting, as I am doing myself, to protect your savings, protect your 401ks and IRAs. And the great way to do that for me is gold and silver. I've been working with Beverly Hills Precious Metals for a little over 2 years. They've been really great with me and my family and friends. They have experts in different fields and different avenues. And if you go to our partners page and you go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, you will find a real person who knows exactly what can be done to help you in whatever circumstance you're in, wherever you find yourself. They will meet you there. They will help you come up with a plan. You can have your gold and silver delivered to you. They also have a depository that's insured that you can have your gold and silver there for you. And in the end, I do believe that America will succeed and we will rise again. And this country will return to the greatness and the beauty that we know and love. But in the meantime, we have a storm ahead. It's very uncertain. To learn more, please go to the Mel Kay Show Partners page and find Beverly Hills Precious Metals and contact the experts there to find the best path for you and your family to protect your savings and to prepare for whatever's ahead. God bless you. God bless America. And please take care of your family first.